Always a schuss together, to be together. Always a schuss to be together on Shabbos Kodesh. To prepare for Shabbos Kodesh. Especially during these heilige days of Svira. The days of Svira, every single day is Shabbos Kodesh. Chaim has to listen, just gave a women's show earlier tonight to explain that. Svartim l'chem yimarchas ha-Shabbos, miyom ha-viyachim ha-sorofan ha-tenuva, sheva shabbosos tumimos. The whole counting is sheva shabbosos. We're not counting days, we're not counting weeks. Counting Shabbos, that means it's referring to every day as Shabbos. You have to live Shabbos every day during Sfira. That makes Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. That we're preparing for right now, it's always a schus to be together with such holy chevra that wants to learn together and grow together at crazy hours. Because people are in love, do crazy things. In love with the Rabbi Nishalom. Just before we begin, all the chizik tonight, all the soyrus tonight, all the Torah tonight, of the brachas that were made tonight, is being sponsored anonymously for Refuah Shleima for Eliza Bas Margalit. Eliza Bas Margalit is a grandmother of a family that I'm very, very, very close to, and incredible people, very, very special people. Oyeve Yisrael. And she needs a big refuah. People should take down her name to daven Eliza Bas Margalit. You know, we just entered the month of Iyar. And everybody knows the famous acronym for the Rosh Tevos for Iyar is Rosh Tevos Ani Hashem Rofecha, right? Aleph is Ani, Yud Yud is Hashem, Resh is Rofecha. So it's a big month of Refuah. And regardless of whatever the doctors say, Ani Hashem Rofecha. And we have to have Amunah, we have to daven, and Mirat Hashem, the Chus of the Torah, the Chizuk Zayr should be big Chus. For Liza Bas Margalit, just for bigger fools and Yeshuos and Bezers Tovos, B'soch Sharcha L'Yisrael. Days of Sirus Omer, Parshas Kedoshim. So Parshas Kedoshim has within it of the most famous psukim in the entire Torah. That famous Medrash, which is not, we don't know exactly where it is, but brought down in the Hakdama of the Ein Yaakov, that tells us, you know, discusses what's the most important pasuk in the Torah. One of them, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha ani Hashem, which is found in Parshas Kedoshim. And I've always felt, along with many, that the biggest avoida, along with all the other avoidas of Yemei Sviro, is V'ahavta l'recha kamocha. That obviously these are days that coincide with the avelus for the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, the Shin Lo Nagu Kavod Zelzeh, and that tells us, therefore, that our biggest avoda is Kavod Zelzeh, to be metaking that. And to come to the culmination, Vayichin Yisrael Neged Ar Ke'ishacha B'Levacha, and that's how we receive the Torah then, and that's how we receive the Torah again. Also always felt, it's very pashut, we all know we left Mitzrayim on the 49th level of Tumah. And that's the avodah of these days. That's what Sfiras Omer is all about. Days of growth, days to work on ourselves. Days to be mitar ourselves because we weren't right to receive the Torah when we left Mitzrayim. Otherwise we would have received the Torah immediately. That's the only reason we have these 49 days. The Kedushas Levi says that's why we don't say Shachianu when we started saying Sfiras Omer. A new mitzvah, you haven't done it all year, we should say Shachianu. No, because the whole necessity of Sfiras Omer is a negative reason. Halavai, we wouldn't need the Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer means I need to grow. Sfiras Omer means I'm not on a level yet to receive the Torah. The only reason we needed Sfiras Omer is because we weren't right to receive the Torah, so I need to grow. So why? I should say Shachianu, Baruch Hashem, that I need that. Halavai, we shouldn't have needed it. Now that once we have it, we have to grow and we'll prepare to receive the Torah. But the obvious question is, how did Bnei Yisrael grow? How did they work on themselves? How were they, if they were on the 49th level of Tumah, and they needed to reach a level to be right to receive the Torah, so you and I, if we need to become right, we want to work on ourselves, we want to be mitar ourselves, we have 613 ways that we could work on ourselves, that we could grow. I could work on my learning, I could work on my davening, I could work on Shabbos Kodesh, I could work on my Kivut Abayim. They didn't have the Torah yet, they were preparing to receive the Torah, so what did they do? Philosophize about belief in God? Like, what was it about? So I always felt, you know, that line that we were all taught in kindergarten, which is based on a medrash, not exactly the exact lashon. Derech eretz kodma Torah. That doesn't just mean like our midos are important and we have to be a mensch, but we can take that line literally as well. Derech eretz, working on our derech eretz, working on our benanu chayro, kodma Torah, literally came before the reception of the Torah. That was how we prepared. That's how we purified ourselves. And that's why the culmination, the v'yichin yisrael neged harki ishachad b'leiv echad. And therefore, right in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer, on the 17th, tonight's the 17th night, if you haven't counted, 17th day, entering, everyone says, days of Sfira, Lev Tov, right? Lev Tov, Gematria 49. Usually we look at it, Lev the first 32 days, and Tov the last 17 days. Maybe you can look at it also the opposite, where as we go from Tov into Lev, we're getting better, but it has to be in our heart. In what way? In V'haftu Lecha Kamocha. And we write in Pump at that transition is V'haftu Lecha Kamocha, Parshas Kedoshim, right here. As we enter into the days of Lev, as we enter the days of the heart, because that's all about the heart, to care for others. So I want to talk about this Pasuk based on a Gemara, a famous Gemara that doesn't quote the Pasuk. Very famous Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbat Daf Lamed Aleph. You all have heard the Gemara, but we have to mamish learn the Gemara. The beauty of Torah, of Shivan Panam Torah, the beauty of Torah, of seeing Amka, seeing depth in every word of Torah. So Gemara says in Shabbat Lamed Aleph, a little after the middle of the page, Ma'isa Benachri Echad, a story of a non-Jew, Shabal of Shammai, that came before Shammai. Amar Le Girani Almanash Talmideni Kol HaTorah Kula. How's it end? Kishani Oymeir Aregalachas. Right? This non-Jew came to Shammai and said, convert me, but on the condition that you can teach me all of Torah Aregalachas. Pashup Shara, we've always learned, and you all, meaning, literally, as I stand on one foot, meaning very quickly, I'll give you a minute. Teach me all of Torah in a minute. And I'm excited to become part of your nation. Dachbo ba'amas habinyan shebiyado. He pushed him away with, obviously there's something deep here, ba'amas habinyan, with like the brick of building. He had some sort of brick in his hand, and building brick. He pushed him away with it. Basically telling him, get away from me. Who are you? Like, really? Are you serious? Torah is a lifetime of study. And to have at least to have the foundation will take time. It takes, you know, a ger comes and wants to be a misgayer. You have to. There's a lot to learn. It takes a year. It takes time. It's not something that, you know, al regal achas and then shkoyach, you're part of our nation. Pushes him away. Shammai says, no chance. Get away. Bolif ne Hillel. Then he comes to Hillel. Gayre, convert me. Amarlo, he said to him, famously, you all know this, right? The al-chasni, that which you find that you wouldn't like done to you, l'chevrcha lo savir, don't do it to your friend. What you would hate being done to you, don't do it to your friend. What you wouldn't like being done to you, the way you wouldn't like being spoken to, the way you wouldn't like being treated, don't do that to your friend. By the way, a very nice, important lesson in life that we all should live by. But that's what he tells him. And he says, Zuhi kol ha-Torah kula, this is the entire Torah. V'idach pirusha, the rest is commentary. Zil gomer, go and learn it. Mamish, a very interesting Gemara, a lot of depth, obviously, in this Gemara. Famous Gemara, I'm sure all the Chevras heard this Gemara, learned this Gemara. And Nevis, I love it. Ramaisa, we're going to understand the Gemara tonight in a new light. Now, first of all, we have to ask a question on the Gemara before we even get into the depth of the actual sushta of the Gemara, the give and take of the Gemara. Hillel came, for whatever reason, which we'll try to understand in a few moments. Hillel basically answered this non-Jew, this basically the concept of after Lecha Kamocha. But he said it in the reverse, and he didn't quote the pasuk. Like, why not? Why not? Why did Hillel say, instead of saying this line, the al chasnil chaver chalosavid, that which you wouldn't like done to yourself, don't do it to your friend, that's kol ha-Torah kula v'idach pirusha zil gomar, Instead, say, Hillel could have been, if that's what he wanted to say, which we still have to understand how that's the whole Torah, we'll get to that. But Lemaisa, he could have said, V'hasbrecha kamocha, v'idach pirusha zil gomer. You know, love your... Why didn't he say that? With the pasuk we know. The pasuk that we know and we're and famously is quoted as the foundation of all Ben al-Mechamero, that again is in this week's parasha, that again, I believe, is the foundation of all of Yemei Sfira. Like, why didn't he just quote the pasuk? The Chiddush HaRim says something incredible. And he kind of, I saw it quoted by Rav Shor, and the way he quoted it, I didn't have the opportunity to see it in the Chiddush HaRim, but we could understand it in two ways. I'm not sure if this is Rav Shor's taich on the Chiddush HaRim, and the Chiddush HaRim says it exactly this way, but... And we'll say it in both ways. He says, to the Umas HaOlam, to a non-Jew, there's no way they could understand the Torah. They can't understand the Torah. And they can't understand this pasuk in the Torah. And you can understand that in two ways. The first way you can understand it means in a very ruchnistic way. The Torah is Ein Sof. The Torah is chelak alaka mimal, is part and parcel of God. The chelak is the deepest of deep. You need a neshama that's a chelak alaka mimal mamish to really connect and understand Torah. To understand the essence of Torah, that, please. Only a Yid could understand that, who has a chelik al-kamimal. The Torah is chachma al-kis, it's ain't sof. So only one who has inside them a part and parcel of their bonus could actually understand the Torah. Any non-Jew that learns Torah, it's not even a tipa beyond what they're understanding. They're just reading and translating words. They can't. There's a depth here. There's a spirituality here. There's something very, very deep, and that's the beauty of Torah, which we can connect to and lift us up in the most beautiful of ways. But there's another concept here. Even this pasuk itself, this Torah itself, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you're telling me, what does that pasuk mean? Love my friend, love your friend, mamish as yourself. As yourself. Treat another person like you would literally treat yourself on such a level. Only a Yid who understands that that another Yid is your brother, is your sister, that another Yid is part and parcel of you, could understand the pasuk of Avdecha Kamocha. Yes, by the Umas HaOlam, by the non-Jews, they could understand what it is to be kind to each other, to be giving to each other, to care about another person on some level, to not do to someone else what you wouldn't want done to yourself. That logically could make sense. But to literally love someone as yourself, only when your blood... Only when you come from the same neshama, from the same place, only when you understand we're brothers and sisters, when we hear about a tragedy in our soul that brings us to tears when we've never met the person before, only a Yid understands that. They can't. You and I understand that. Sadly, sometimes there are those of us that don't live it, and we have to live it, but at least we can understand it, and some of us do live it. Yeah, I'll say it, I don't want to embarrass, but I will embarrass. Yisrael Uri is a few minutes late tonight. Yisrael Uri, every single week, is the first guy here. Sets up and cleans up. And why is he a few minutes late tonight? Don't worry, I'm allowed to say what I say. I'm your Rebbe. So, why is he a few minutes late tonight? You know why he's a few minutes late tonight? Because Uri Danino, who we all are davening for, who's been a hostage in Gaza for 210 days, Ori Danino, his mother and sister, also is here. His mother and sister have been back and forth to America, and his family, his sister and his mother, Yisrael Uri's mother and sister, forged a deep relationship with them out of just care. Not they didn't know who they were prior. And where's Ori Danino's mother and sister staying by Yisrael Uri's family, who shows them love like they're part of the family? So he couldn't leave. They were leaving tonight to go somewhere else. And how's he going to leave his family to say goodbye before they leave? So he had to be a few minutes late. These are people that 210 days ago, or a little less than that, they had no idea who they were. They never met these people, but they're part of the Felder family. I've seen it. I've seen them together with them. They're literally part of their family. Because that's what it is to be a Yid. We're family. And we love and we care and we feel the pain and suffering and we feel the simcha and the joy. We literally feel the simcha and the joy. Even the little, at least when we went back into finally this week into Rafa, and I saw some imagery, and like we all saw the tanks going in and putting up the Israeli flags by the crossing, and I was bawling. What I'm bawling? Yeah, you think the Umas HaOlam could understand what that is? We only us. Because why? Because And then getting back to the first idea, Torah, the Kiddush of Torah. See, the Torah, we understand, is the objective truth of this world. It's Chochmah Elokis that we have, which is incredible. And that's why we could see MS, and we know MS. And we see now more than ever how the rest of the world is a world of Sheker, Olam de Shekra. Look at the world, look at college campuses, look at the country we live in. Look at the president of the country we live in. Olam de Shekra, a world of lies. They can't see MS from Sheker on the smallest of levels. It's so clear. To us, it's not even debatable. It's like the biggest good versus the worst evil, yet to them they can't understand. They can't understand that this is crystal clear. Forget about we love our Yisrael, we love our brothers and sisters. If this was any other country, it would be so clear to us. So clear. If this was America against ISIS, it would be so clear. It's so clear who the good guy is, who the bad guy is. It's so clear who's right and wrong. Crystal clear. No debate here. No debate on the highest of levels. But they can't see. They can't see because there's no objective truth. It's all subjective reality. You understand? We're learning Pirkei Avos these days. We learn Pirkei Avos, right? Pirkei Avos is the ethics of our fathers. It's morals, it's ethics. It's v'haftar lecha kamocha halachos, right? What's the first mission of Pirkei Avos? What's the very first mission of Pirkei Avos? Moshe kibul Torah misinu. Umasul Yeshua. Yeshua is the Kenim. It's Kenim lanche Knesset Gdola. And then we start Mishiyari, Knesset Gdola, Shemen Tzadik, and three things. But before that, first half of the first Mishnah is a history lesson of the Mesor of the Torah. There's a lot of depth in that Mishnah. Why did Moshe keep it with Torah Sinai? Why not? Me'akadosh Baruch Hu. U'masro Yeshua. He gave it over, and then Yeshua is a Kenim. What do you mean? Why not? Masro Yeshua is a Kenim. Is a Kenim on Shaykh Nansi Zagdol? Like, there's a lot of... Not to get into it right now. We're not learning Pirkei Avos right now, though we could, but if anyone wants to stay later. Right, so the biggest question, and the Rav asked this, and many others, why is the ethics of our father, our Torah Shabbat Peh of Musar, start with a history lesson? You know why? Because it wants to teach us that our ethics, our morals, our midos are not just subjective ideas that people decided and taught us. Every asay l'charav, k'nei l'chachaver, shlosha dvar molim on the Torah, but these are not just ideals that these Tanoim thought of and decided are nice to teach. They're all gleaned from the objective truth of the Torah. It's chachma l'kis, it's the objective truth of God. Not debatable on any level. And it's what morality is. It's what ethics is. It's what right and wrong is. Whether you realize it or not, whether you understand it or not. That's our lives as Torah Dikyidin. When you don't have that, you have a world of subjectivity. So I decide what's right and wrong. When you don't have Torah and objective truth, then ultimately I decide. So I go to Colombia and I could decide who's right and wrong because I run the world, basically. There's nothing above me. There's no objectivity. So it shouldn't surprise us. That's the world we live in. And that's exact, which is sad and hard to swallow sometimes, but at least accept it and understand what it is. So that's why the Chiddush HaRim says, Hillel couldn't say v'haftolecha kamocha to teach to the... He wasn't misgayer yet. He can't chap objective truth in Torah. And he can't chap for sure v'haftolecha kamocha to really love someone like yourself. Which we can, and that's that alone, just to get together to learn and to talk about this was well worth it tonight. Yisoidus shibisodus, don't give it over to the world. We have it. So now let's analyze the whole story. What was this non-Jew, this Nachri? Thinking to say, teach me kol haTorah al regel achas. Again, pasha pshat is like very, very quickly. But is that what he really meant? It's a strange request. Very strange request. Like he wants to be part of our nation. He knows there's a lot of Torah out there. What did that exactly mean? It's a halig magid of Ezra, which teaches us a different taich of this Gemara. Of Dovber, the halig magid of Ezra, I remember years ago, this time of the year, it was right now, it was a little bit before Shavuos, I had this chus. A little before, I'm sorry, like Bomer. This chus once in my life to be the Magid. was like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's crazy. You know, we get off a bus, pitch dark, no lights. Have no idea where we are. 17 Talmidim, myself, Rabbi Eli Brazil. And we're like just walking through this, like the town of, we're going through, looking for the Maggid of Mezrich, looking for Rav Zusha, who's buried together with him. There's a scene like, I'm honest, we're walking through this like shtetl, knows what. And I don't know, it's, the person we're with, Tigran, starts like screaming like that someone should come out, and I don't know, in Ukrainian or whatever. And then like a bunch of Ukrainian people, like 2 o'clock in the morning, just come out of find like at some house out of nowhere, and they bring water to wash our, like for the people going in, that to wash their hands. They open up the Beis HaKfaros.
Yeah.
No, Goyim. Ukrainians, I don't know. Listen, for a dollar. You know, all night. Myself and Shmuley Brecha, the two Kohanim, we it's a small basic forest. You could see, we saw on top of the Maggid's oil, and, but we were just by the lake where Abzusha used to do, where Abzusha used to do his bodhis, and we just were singing. I'll never forget the two of us singing. He just had a baby girl. Mazel tov to Shmuley. We had a baby girl this past Shabbos. We were doing a singing by that lake. I'll never forget for the rest of my life. There was so, it was like mamish in the makom where Rav Zusha did, not like Zusha the band, Rav Zusha himself. You know, Emes. Like we were there. Anyone else was ever there? Anyone else was there? Mamish, we got to go back. We got to do a trip. We got to go back. Like you feel these, you feel it there in like ways you can't feel it in other places. It's like, anyways. So the Maggid of Medrash says, what's it mean, al regel achas? What's it mean? You know, a malach is called an oimed. A yid is a mahalich. A yid is a hailich. A yid is always growing and working. A malach is kadosh, is holy. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. But he's standing in one place, right? The pasuk in Yechezkel says, v'ragleim regel yishara. Their feet were straight. Rashi there says, it looks like malachim have one foot. Because their feet are together. That's why when we daven, trying to get close to Hashem, we put our feet together. A malach has their feet together. They're an oimed. A mile of a malach is they can't fall, but a chisaron is they also can't grow. And we know many, many gemaras and many chazals and many discussions we've given Shirim over the years about how much greater we are than a malach because we have that ability to grow. But makam shavah tshuva omdam filo tzidik gemurim yeshir lamud. We could be much higher than a malach. We could also fall much lower. Regel, a malach is al regel achas. A malach is al regel achas, on one foot. This nachri, this non-Jew says, this is how the Maggid learns. He comes to Shammai and says, I want to be part of your nation. But I know part of your nation is, there's a lot of challenges. And there's persecution. And there's taivas. And there's kina. And you have to daven 3 times a day. And you got to get to minyan. And you have to learn. And you have to, so many halachas, which I know are beautiful, but I know it's not going to be easy. But promise me I'll be al regel achas. Promise me I'm never going to fall. Promise me I'm never going to lower myself. I'm in. And Shammai looks to him and says, you fool. That's not the way of a yid. Yeah, we fool. And yes, we have nisyonos. Yes, we have challenges. Yes, every single person has challenges. But those are yirid l'tzorach aliyah. That's so we could rise so much higher. That's how we could be so much greater. That's why we... And you don't want to be willing to fall? Don't be part of our nation. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. The yipol is what makes you into tzaddik, but when you're vakum. But we can. And don't be afraid to fall, and don't be afraid to be part of that. But if you're not willing to, al regel achas pushes him away. That's not what we're about. There's an incredible organization. We have so many beautiful organizations. What it is to be part of Klal Yisrael, if you just look around. See, wearing a Hask sweatshirt. You know what Hask is and what they do? I mean, a lot of people here are very big in Hask and have been. You know what it is. You know what, that's why I have such a love for Hask, and I can't stop going to Hask. And because the Kedusha of Hask and what is done and giving of oneself. But there's so many organizations, the Kiruv organizations and Mamish, you know, you look at Misaskim and you look at Hatzolah. You know what Hatzolah is? They don't have this by the Umas Olam. You know how many Yidden a year lives are saved compared to the Umas Olam because we have Atzala. Like, if we would rely on that. Like, we have the most amazing people, most amazing organizations. Chaveirim, like, Chaveirim, it's like a car breaks down, no problem as a Yid. Boom. Like, anything. We have one of the most amazing organizations that we have as Yidden. And there's a few other like it, but it's the organization of Bonei Olam. None of you should ever have to come to Bonei Olam for help. Bez Hashem, you should be zoichet to never need it, because it's a nisayon that's very difficult. But it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I dealt with Bonei Olam this week with a couple that I'm very close to that needed Bonei Olam, and I was dealing with Bonei Olam and the help they're going to give this couple this week. A couple that has to come to IVF, and Meretz Hashem, they'll be zoichet to have beautiful children. But if you know, needing IVF is extremely, extremely expensive, obviously with all nisyonos. What does Bonei Olam do when a couple is dealing with fertility issues? Bonei Olam is going to give them the support with therapy. Bonei Olam is going to be there by their side to help them through. Bonei Olam is going to help them hook them up with top doctors. It's going to help them financially. Bonei Olam is, you should never know from it. It's incredible. I myself, Bonei Olam helped. Baruch Hashem, I have five beautiful children. But after Rabbi Chara, who's sitting right over here, we had some fertility issues before my next child. And Baruch Hashem, nothing too serious, and not to get into the details, but ultimately Bonei Olam was very helpful. Was very helpful on myself. I remember years ago, I once spoke by a Bonei Olam event. An event, a big event in the five towns. It was a Lel Slichos in someone's backyard, beautiful event. And they had like big singers for the Slichos, and they had, you know, big one of these big events. And they asked me to speak because I was connected to whatever it was. It doesn't matter. So I spoke at this event, and I remember at that point, it was right then that they helped bring into the world their thousandth baby. 1,000 babies that they helped bring into the world. 1,000 Yidden into the world because of Bonei Olam. But that was years ago. You know how many, if you go on their website, then you'll see, you know how many Yidden they helped bring into the world today, Bonei Olam? You know how many today? That was probably about 10 years ago, I'd say, give or take. I don't remember when I spoke, but it was, let's say, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 12 years, I don't know. Today, if you go on their website to see how many Yidden they brought it, helped bring into the world, 12,297. 12,297 Yidden are in the world because of this organization. Now, who started this organization? Harav and Rebbetzin Shlomo Bachner. And why? What happened? Bavar Chassidim, who were married in 1979, and for 20 years they tried to have children. For 20 years they went and went for brachos. For 20 years they went davening. For 20 years they traveled the world to every expert doctor. And we're not zoicha. We're not zoicha. And eventually one of the top doctors, and they realized, and they were told, we've done every little possible thing. There's no hope. On the car ride home, when hearing that news, the Rebbetzin turned to her husband Shlomo. He said, Shlomo, Hashem said no, but we're going to respond with a resounding yes. And they decided to build Bonei Olam and bring 12,297 children that are their children into the world. And where to get into their mind that they realized that people need help? Years before that, they traveled with a few other couples to Europe to see a specialist. And they were told to, with a consultation and fertility specialist. The whole thing was a lot of money. And they were told to bring extra money because you never know what procedures might come up there, whatever it was. And when they were there, they themselves were not given much hope. But one of the couples they were with were told, we really believe if you go through with a particular procedure, you could be successful. But it was extremely expensive, and that couple didn't have the money. And Rav Shlomo Bachner's wife brought with them and had the extra money. And they gave it to that couple. And that couple had a child. And they remembered that and realized there are so many couples out there that maybe just don't have the financial means and would be able to have children. And maybe also couples need the emotional support and all that. And they built Bonei Olam because Hashem in their eyes said no to them having children. They said they're going to turn that Yerida into Aliyah for Klal Yisrael. And they did. And that's what Shammai was saying to this Nochri, saying, you want to be al regal achas? Then there'd be no Bonei Olam. Part of it, because Baruch Hu brings challenges for us to grow. And it's each and every one of us. A guy has a challenge when it comes to Shmir Senayim. It's very hard. That challenge is so you could become great. And you could be mechazik others in it. But you could do it and lead to higher levels. You have a challenge where getting to minions harder than min. So you get through it. And then you're mechazik so that you could give that over to your children. That you become that yid who never misses a minion. But if I'm an oymeid, I'm a malach, so I'm stuck, I'm satiated. So what good is, what do I need to wake up the next morning? I already reached my plateau. A yid has to be always growing, and part of growing is going through challenges in life. And I have to accept that. So the guy, the Nachri says, teach me Torah, I'll regla achas. Shammai says, no chance, you're not part of our nation. That's not our way. That's not good. So now we have to understand what's Hillel's answer. I have to understand what's Hillel's answer. I mean, that sounds beautiful. But Hillel doesn't say get away. Hillel gives an answer. And remember, we paskin like Hillel. But Hillel says, what does Hillel say? Dal chas nani l'chever chelo savid. What you wouldn't want done to yourself, don't do to others. Basically, after Chachmocha, we explained already why it doesn't quote the pasuk, right? So what's Hillel saying? So I'll tell you what Hillel's saying. It's based on his Sfasemis as well. There's a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel. Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel, talks about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shua Ben Chananya, Kishayinu Smeichim Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Lo Reinu Shina Beinenu. When it was the days of Simchas Beis HaShoeva throughout all of Sukkahs, we never slept. And it goes through what they did. Kate said, Shari Shona Tamid, Shal Shachar. They woke right away. It was the Tamid Shal Shachar. Misham L'Tfila, straight to davening. Misham L'Korban Musaf, straight to Korban Musaf. Misham L'Tfila to Musaf, straight to Tfila to Musaf. Misham L'Beis HaMidrash, from there we went to learn. Misham L'Achil Ishtia, then we went to eat. Misham L'Tfila to Mincha, then we went to Mincha, to daven. Misham L'Tamid Shal Bein Arbaim, the Tamid Shal Bein. Mikam Be'ilech Simchas Beis Yeva, and then all night long Simchas Beis Yeva, and did it all over again. No sleep. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, Ini. Is that possible? A week of no sleep? Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Shvua Shol Ishan. If you make an oath that I won't sleep, Shlosh Yamin for 3 days straight, Malkun Oso, V'yashin L'Altar, they give him Malkun, they hit him and he sleeps right away. Because you can't make such an oath, because it's Sheker, you're already over on your oath. You know why? Because it's impossible. It's impossible. No one could go 3 days without sleeping. So how can we say when all of Sukkahs without sleeping? Elohachi kamar, this is what I meant to say. Lo tamnu tam shina. We didn't taste the taste of sleep. Davi menamneme akasve dadadi. Because we fell asleep a little bit on each other's shoulders. In other words, it didn't mean we actually didn't sleep. It means we didn't go to sleep in our beds. We fell asleep on each other's shoulders. But meaning lamaskana, they did sleep. So what does it mean at first to say they didn't sleep and then says they did sleep? Like, what's exactly going on here? This comes a halaga yirakadosh. Oh, just to mention Yira Kodesh, Chavr, Shinu, the Yira Kodesh from Purim. If you don't, you're missing out. It comes a look at Yira Kodesh. The Yira Kodesh says, what does it mean they didn't sleep? What does it mean they didn't sleep? Sleeping is some level of Yerida. And when you're sleeping, you can't be learning, you can't be davening, you can't be doing an avoda. Saying we didn't sleep is in a deeper way saying we didn't fall at all. We never had any yerida. But what does that mean? We just said from Shammai, every one of us needs yeridas in our life. It's part of the growth process. So no, we did actually sleep a little. What does that mean? Because we were leaning on each other's shoulders. In other words, what Sfasemi says based on this, This is ultimately what Hillel was saying to the ger, the Nachri that wants to become a ger. You want to be someone who never falls. So he's maskim to Shammai. We all need to read this. But if you lean on each other's shoulders, if you have achdus, then even if you fall, you're never going to fall because you're going to get right back up. Meaning, in other words, he agrees to Shammai. Of course, the avodah of a yid is to always be growing, and part of growing is having challenges. But you want to ensure that you're never going to fall? Have achdus. Care for others and others care for you. This is the same hillel that says in Pirkei Avos, hillel amar al tifrash min hatzibur. Why? You could say it on a deeper level. There's just schusim when you're connected to others. You have schusim, so even when you fall, you're not really, Hashem's not judging you like that because he judges you together with the tzibur. It's like davening a minion. When you daven a minion, even your tefillahs are not so great. The minion tefillahs pick you up. That's why it's very dangerous to daven b'yichidus. Mishnah Navo says, Al te rasha b'fnei atmecha. Read the Ruach Chaim, Chaim V'lozhin on that. He says that's talking about davening b'yichidus. Don't be a rasha, be a b'fnei atmecha. Al te rasha b'fnei atmecha, meaning and daven b'yichidus. Beginning of that whole mission is talking about davening and davening with a minion. And why? Because he says if you daven by yourself, you need such tremendous kavana and aim on year for your tefillahs to be accepted. And if you don't have all that kavana, your tefillahs are not accepted. It's like you didn't even daven. If you daven the minyan, even without that kavana, your tefillahs are accepted. That the koyach atzibur lifts you up. It keeps you high. Einachami, we're going to have challenges. You want to make sure you always get through the challenges because that's what you really want, Hillel saying to this Nachri. Have achdus, be connected. It could be the schusim, like a minyan, or it could be that you're going to have the people by your side that can immediately lift you up. The love of Klal Yisrael is so deep. When we see a friend and you see him fall, you're going to be the one. You have friends, they're going to pick you up. You have Rabbeim, Asei Lecha Rav U'Knei L'Chaver. You have Rabbeim, they're going to pick you up. They're going to help you grow. When you're in a chevra, even yes, you're going to fall maybe, but you're going to get right back up. That's the koyach of yeshiva, the koyach of chevra, the koyach of good, real friends, good friends. Asei Lecha Rav U'Knei L'Chaver. The Vav Achivor. Your Rebbe should be your best friend, and your friend should be a Rebbe to you. Friend just to have a good time, but it's not there to help you grow. That's not a real friend. It's not a real friend. That's why your best friend is your Rebbe. But your best friend should also, your best friend, your Rebbe should be your best friend, and your friend should be your Rebbe. But when you have that achdus, you have that oneness, we're going to be lifted up. We're going to be lifted up by seeing others that are role models to us. That's the v'haftu lecha kamocha ani Hashem. Through v'haftu lecha kamocha, you're going to come to ani Hashem. You're going to come back. Through that achdus, through that oneness. And that was the pagam, shelo nagu kavod zeh lazeh. The talmidim of Rekiva, shelo nagu kavod zeh lazeh. They didn't have respect for each other. That's the most dangerous thing in the world. Then the yerida, you're not going to get anywhere. We need to have kavod zeh lazeh. And then even when we have those yeridas, that's part of life that Shammai said you need in life. And Hillel agrees. But through achdus, you can always get back up. Either the schustim of the achdus, or we're going to be there for each other and lift each other up. Lift each other up when need be, beruchnias, in our relationship with Hashem, in our davening, in our learning, and whatever it might be. But again, just realizing, so Hillel's in agreement, actually, that we all do need this journey of life, and always need to be growing, and need to ultimately accept and embrace our challenges, but grow from them. And realize that one of the biggest keys to making sure that we grow is through achdus, is through chevra, is through our relationship, is through a few married guys here, but the rest, b'shatoyva, finding an incredible wife who's going to be your best friend and is going to help you grow in an incredible way, and you're going to help her grow in an incredible way. That's part of that relationship in a beautiful way. Not that you're a Rebbe or a chavrus of each other, but you're there by each other's sides as best friends. And best friends are there to pick each other up when need be. That's what a best friend does. And that's what our friends, all of us, friendship is for. That's the deepest friendship, not just having a good time. But just embrace the life of journey and not be afraid of it. Not get down when you have a difficult day and when you might not have lived up to, get a little down so that you can get back up, but right away be machazik yourself and say, okay, I'm going to go bigger tomorrow. Okay, today my davening wasn't great, tomorrow it's going to be incredible. Today my learning wasn't great, tomorrow it's going to be incredible. Not to get down more, meaning take it to heart, but not to get down. Like that's what life is. Don't be this nachri that wants, I want to be oymeid. And embrace the chevra that helps us do that. And we have no idea just what relationships could do for us. I was reminded of this story, very famous story, I think, but this week was Yom HaShoah. this year more than ever. I have to think about the Holocaust. I think it was more powerful and more emotional than any year in our generation, because if we see what's happening in the world, and we could have a slight understanding, slight, more so than ever before, of the world that hates us and what could be. So there's a story that Yaffa Eliach brings down in her incredible book, Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. If you haven't read it, get it, read it. A lot of incredible stories. And the story of this Hasidisha Rav from Danzig, and who every day he'd take a walk outside prior to the Holocaust. And there was a man that was outside. He would pass by, Herr Mueller. Mr. Mueller. And every single day, this Hasidic rabbi would make sure to say good morning to him. Good morning, Herr Mueller. They didn't have a real relationship, but it was just, he was pleasant, it was nice. And years, this was happened for years. And eventually the Holocaust began. And Lemaise, this Rav, this Hasidish Rav, was in a concentration camp. And he was by selection. And the Nazi commander who was doing the selection, left to right, right? We all know. And you go to the left, straight to the gas chamber. And this man, this Rav, who doesn't look anything close to what he looked before, he's completely shaved and bald and in a striped uniform and with the numbers and a skeleton of a human being. But he sees the officer, he sees the commander is making the selection, and he looks close, he looks familiar. And he couldn't believe his eyes, but he knew it was him. It was Herr Mueller. It was that man. It was the one making the selection. He was a Nazi at this point. And the line is going and it's coming to his time. And when it's his turn, he looks up. And he says, good morgen, Herr Mueller. In the same way that he did it for years back in the Alter Heim. And this Nazi commander, this was making the selection, was so taken aback, he didn't recognize him, but he heard the voice and it brought back the memories of the morning greetings and how sweet and nice this rabbi was every day to him. And he immediately put him, and he, even though he was a skeleton, would have been generally sent straight to the gas chamber, it saved his life. And not only did it save his life on that day, he transferred him from the death camp to a work camp that was obviously also bad, but not close to what it was. And he survived. And he survived to tell the story. What saved his life? What saved his life was his pleasantry, was his midos, was his kavod zelaza. Saying good morning every day to this person literally saved his life. And that same kavod zelaza is what Hillel is saying could save our lives. We're going to have yeridos. We're going to have challenges in life. Spiritual challenges, other challenges in life. This week in my life with Baruch Hashem, I don't mean my media, but the people I deal with, and so I can't even tell you I was the challenges I've been dealing with in people's lives. But Mitzvah Hashem, this is going to be Mitzvah Tovas, and things are going to be good. Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to help them. But we all need people that are going to help us and lift us up. And if we have these relationships, and we have the Ben Olam Chaveru, we have the Kavod Zelazeh, that's what, when we fall, we can be picked up, back up, and we can pick others up. We have to understand that in the deepest of ways. So Bez Hashem is Baruch, we should be Zoichev. First of all, to realize and appreciate after Ech Kamocha, that we could appreciate the godliness of the objectivity of Torah, the light of Torah that we have in this world. The relationships that we have that are Mamish Kamocha, the love, the family that we're a part of. To embrace and realize the challenges of life are part of our growth, and part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings our way, and that's what it is to be alive as a Yid. But cherish the Kavod Zelazeh that's going to ensure that if I fall, I'm going to get right back up. And be Matzliach Bez Hashem, and be there for each other. And the schus of all that will be zoiche, just like the Yeshua of that rabbi from Danzig will be zoiche. All of us will have the Yeshua with Gula Shleima, with Mishpat Keinu, and Pei Rabim. Amen.